Good afternoon, everybody. You're tuned to 103.2 Dublin City FM, and this is Europe Today with your presenters for this week, Carmel O'Donoghue and I, John Bourne. Coming up in the next half an hour, Carmel will be speaking to Hans Zoomer, director of DOCUS, the Irish National Platform of Development NGOs, about this year's European Year of Development and how this set of initiatives will affect EU citizens. We'll have a rundown of some of the stories of Irish interest that are making the headlines in Europe. We'll have a recent statement from High Representative of the European Union, Federica Mogherini, about her concern on developments in the Democratic Republic of Congo. And we'll have some music from Germany for your enjoyment as well. So stay tuned to us here on 103.2 Dublin City FM for the next half an hour and your programme Europe Today. The European Commission has approved €79 million to increase cooperation between Ireland and Wales. Voluntary and community organisations, colleges of further education and institutes of technology, as well as other bodies, are welcome to apply for funding. The programme is managed by the Welsh European Funding Office. Kiri Eustace of the EU office in Dublin says the funding will bring great benefits to both Wales and Ireland.
This funding will be targeting linking SMEs and research organisations in order to boost enterprise. Local tourism attractions will be promoted to bring more visitors to Ireland and Wales, and climate change will also be tackled. So this is to increase cooperation between Ireland and Wales and to promote sustainable and equal development in both regions.
Pioneering scientists at Trinity College in Dublin have moved a step closer to finding a cure for Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease and multiple sclerosis. Recent laboratory tests on mice have found a molecule that can block the development of such diseases and are confident of success with humans. Professor Luke O'Neill from Bray is an EU-funded scientist who received €2.5 million for his work under the Horizon 2020 programme. He says the signs on a new medicine developed at Trinity College are very encouraging.
Certainly we're optimistic that what we've found could help treat and sort of slow down progression of a whole range of inflammatory diseases. Now, the peculiar thing is inflammation is common to many diseases like MS, Alzheimer's, diabetes even, and our new medicine has potential to treat all those conditions.
This week marked 100 days in office for Federica Mogherini, High Representative of the European Union for Foreign Affairs and Security Policy. Addressing the EP plenary, Mogherini voiced her deep concern about, among other issues, the situation in the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Thank you very much. Let me thank you for this exchange of views today regarding the situation in the Democratic Republic of Congo. As you know, the European Union has been a strong and consistent partner of the Democratic Republic of Congo over the last 15 years. In 2006, we provided the bulk of financing for the organization of the first democratic elections in the history of Congo, and DRC has been one of our top priorities in Africa over the last decade. This includes two military operations and a sustained effort to support security sector reform, with two CSDP missions, as well as more traditional areas of cooperation, such as health, roads, and natural resources management. Today, I think that many of you are especially concerned about the delays and uncertainties surrounding the electoral process, which includes the holding of local elections in 2015 and the legislative and presidential elections in 2016 at latest. The recent debate over the passing of a new electoral law has led to violent popular protests calling for respect of the constitutional timelines and to casualties. During these difficult moments, we called on all political forces to look for a consensus to facilitate an appeasement of the situation, and in particular, we asked the government to exercise restraint, to maintain an open political space and allow for peaceful expression of opinion. The prerequisite of organizing a general census before the legislative and presidential elections has now been dropped. This opens the door to organize the elections within the constitutional time frame. This is a very positive step, which I welcome, and I also know that some of you expressed opinions in the same direction. But respect for the Constitution goes wider than respect of timelines. Freedoms of speech and of the media, the right of peaceful assembly, the respect of the rights of the opposition are all essential components of a democracy. These critical elements will be part of our dialogue with the Congolese government with the objective of reducing the tension in the political climate. I am very much aware of, and I share, the concerns of the European Parliament for the situation of Dr. Denis Mukwege and of the Panzi Hospital. And let me say that I was honoured personally to sit in this very same room listening to his inspiring and dramatic words last November in the occasion of the Sakharov Prize. And I was also honoured to have, in that occasion, a very good meeting with him, looking for ways of cooperating on concrete projects. I wish to confirm you that the European Union is following with great vigilance the situation concerning his physical security as a human rights defender. I have also asked my representative in Kinshasa to inquire about disputes between the Congolese administration and the Panzi Hospital. I strongly support an amicable agreement between the Panzi Hospital and the Congolese administration. The holding of democratic elections leading to a peaceful transition of power will be key for the longer-term stability in DRC and in the wider region. Stability will also depend on other factors, in particular the neutralization of all armed groups in eastern Congo. There has been some significant progress in this respect, thanks to the efforts of the Congolese army and MONUSCO. Nevertheless, important challenges remain, for example, regarding the ex-M23 movement. Governments of DRC, Uganda and Rwanda should strengthen the collaboration to achieve a durable disarmament, demobilization and reintegration of ex-combatants and their dependents. The FDLR rebel group remains a major threat for the long-term stability in the region. Linked with the Rwanda 1994 genocide ideology, this group has inflicted immense human suffering and has spoiled the DRC-Rwanda relations. The support of the United Nations, there is now a unique opportunity to address one of the root causes of conflicts in the Kivus. The FDLR movement has been given plenty of time by countries of the region to surrender peacefully. We discussed this in the Foreign Affairs Council last January, and we adopted at 28 Council conclusions, where we stated that the time has now come for military operations. Still, we also stress that we invite MONUSCO and FARDC to ensure full protection of civilians and respect of international humanitarian law during the operations. Let me reiterate our support for the UN involvement in promoting peace and stability. This includes the sustained efforts of MONUSCO and all troops contributing countries, as well as the personal efforts of the UN Special Envoy for the Great Lakes region.
Zwischen schwarzen Wolken sehe ich ein Kleid. selbst zu eng, selbst für einen allein. Bevor sie auf mich fallen, reiß ich die Mauern ein. Komm, steh auf, sag ich mein Verstand. Und gibt es keine Tür, dann geh ich halt durch die Wand. Das alles muss weg, das alles muss neu. Steine schmelzen, Scherben fliegen geradeaus auf neuen Wegen durch den Feuerring. Alles brennt, alles geht in Flammen auf. Alles was bleibt, sind Asche und Rauch. Doch zwischen schwarzen Wolken seh ich ein kleines bisschen Blau. Ich halt die Luft an und führ die Glut. Alles wird gut. Oh, alles wird gut. Und wenn es wieder in mir brennt, dann weiß ich jetzt genau, dass man Feuer.
New entry in the German charts, that's a track called Alles Brennt by Johannes Oerding.
Now you can follow Europe Today on Twitter.
This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM. The European Union has designated this year as the European Year for Development. DOCUS, the Irish National Platform of Development NGOs, who are committed to tackling global poverty and inequality, are the national coordinator for the programme of activities here at home. I caught up with DOCUS's director, Hans Zomer, and asked him, what is the European Year for Development? What does sustainable development mean? And how can citizens become more aware of the choices they make that impacts development? What have the Millennium Development Goals achieved? And what are the new universal goals that will replace them?
The European Year for Development 2015 is essentially a set of initiatives throughout the year where we're saying to people and we're creating spaces for people to hear about how important some of the UN level decisions are this year, and to really create spaces for people to become aware of their power as consumers and as citizens in Ireland. The European Union chooses a thematic year every year, and it's a way of highlighting a specific theme that the EU is very interested in. And in 2015, they've taken overseas development, or I should say sustainable development, because world leaders are set to make a few agreements this year that are really going to affect everybody on Earth, not just people living in developing countries, but also us here in Ireland. So 2015 is a year that is going to shape the future of mankind, and we are using 2015 as a year to highlight the importance of these decisions and to really encourage people, to inspire people to take action.
Okay, so basically, I know it's around sustainable development. Could you clarify to me what sustainable development is?
Yeah, this is obviously a jargon for people like ourselves, but it's very simply put, development is the way we shape the future of our society. Now, most of us think about development and developing countries, but every day, our politicians and our companies make decisions that shape the future of Irish society as well. And we've seen with the Celtic Tiger era that there was a model of development for Ireland that wasn't particularly sustainable. It ran into the ground because it was basically based on debt and speculation. So that what we're saying is sustainable development model is a model that you can obviously meet the needs of the current generation, but taking account of the planet and of future generations' needs as well. So we cannot keep burning fossil fuels and contribute to climate change. We cannot continue to create debt use the Earth's finite resources. That's not a sustainable model. So what we're looking for now is ideas of what sustainability would look like for Ireland, for Europe, and for the world.
So I suppose myself as an Irish citizen, active Irish citizen, how can I participate in any of the events that are upcoming throughout 2015?
Well, yes, the first thing you can do is participate in events, and they are listed on our website. It's docus.ie/EYD, and EYD stands for European Year for Development. So docus.ie, EYD. So there's events that are organized by organizations from across Ireland. It's very simple. Just look at the details there and show up for whatever event that takes your fancy. But we want to do more. We want you to, and your listeners, to think of themselves as actually already being involved, whether they know it or not. You and I are global citizens. When we had breakfast this morning, the ingredients for our breakfast had traveled from many countries. You know, the yogurt, the cereal, the orange juice that you drank, they were all produced somewhere, and we bought those at fairly low prices, because that's how the international trade system works. But also, it has been transported. So your orange juice was probably flown here or shipped here. So by drinking it, you have become part of the problem that is CO2 emissions and climate change.
So I can make a difference by, for example, buying fair trade.
You can look at fair trade, or you can just look at ethical trade. So one of the things that we're doing in the European Year for Development is to ask people simply to look at how they are already impacting on the world with their everyday choices as a consumer or as a citizen. So the food you buy, the clothes you buy, and so in April there'll be a lot of focus on clothing, because the clothes you buy were made somewhere, and the chances are that they were made in a sweatshop somewhere in Bangladesh, and we've seen the conditions that the workers in Bangladesh are working under. So by buying those clothes, you are part of that equation. I'm not saying that you should be feeling guilty, but you should be aware that the choices you make as a consumer create this sort of situation in which people are being exploited. So in the middle of April, we'll be asking you to ask the companies from which you've bought clothes, who made my clothes? It's an international campaign, Who Made My Clothes. If you look it up on the website, you can get all the details. But it's just one of the ways, and we want to raise awareness that whether we know it or not, our choices in Ireland are already impacting on people around the world. Because I think we tend to think of these things as being neutral and faceless. But you and I are also faceless capitalists in a way. I don't know about yourself and your listeners, I have a pension fund. I don't actually know where the pension fund has invested my money. So in the middle of February, we've asked people to write to their pension funds and ask a simple question. Where is my money invested? Did you invest it in arms industry? Did you invest it in oil companies? It's a question of getting the information to enable us to make the informed decisions. So what we're encouraging people to look at is when they have investments or when they have pension plans, etc., to make sure that they are invested ethically. So again, that is one of the many things that most of us won't have thought about, but actually does impact directly on Ireland's own future, but also on the future of many people around the planet.
That's very interesting. And Hans, just to ask you also about the Millennium Development Goals. Now, I am aware that they come to an end this year. I suppose really, you know, I want to ask the question, what have they achieved and what will replace them?
Well, the Millennium Development Goals were agreed at the turn of the millennium, so in 2000. And they were essentially a recipe to end extreme poverty and disease and hunger. So they were more or less a set of goals for developing countries. And what rich countries had to do was to promote the policies in developing countries by reforming the international trade program, trade rules, by reforming the debt rules, and by providing overseas aid. And the progress on those goals has been enormous in the last 15 years. Again, it's a story that is very little known, but we have reduced the levels of extreme poverty in the world by 700 million. 700 million people have been lifted out of poverty.
And what do you mean by extreme poverty as opposed to poverty?
This is extreme poverty is a measure that the UN and the World Bank use, which is essentially a measure of how much money people make on a daily basis. So it's an equivalent of, say, living in the United States with a $1.25 a day. So that is the international benchmark for extreme poverty. So 700 million people have, in the last 15 years, been lifted out of that poverty trap. 200 million people have received access to safe drinking water. 200 million, that's a quick sum. How many times the population of Ireland? We have been able to reduce the number of people living in hunger. We have been able to reduce the death rates of maternal deaths. We have been able to seriously increase the number of kids that start primary education in the world. We've now achieved parity between boys and girls internationally. As many girls as boys start school worldwide. And 9 out of 10 of every child in this world is now enrolled in school. For the first time in human history, we have reached this. So this, I guess what I'm saying is that having had this internationally agreed recipe, this set of priorities, has made an enormous difference. And what the UN want to do in 2015 is look at, well, what lessons can we learn from that and what goals should we set for the next 15 years? But there's a huge difference between these new goals and the Millennium Development Goals that you mentioned.
What is that difference?
That difference is that these goals are going to be universal. So the Millennium Development Goals were, as I said, they were essentially aimed at developing countries, whereas these new Sustainable Development Goals are what the UN calls universal. That means they apply everywhere. That means they apply in Ireland. Okay. So we, as Irish citizens, we're going to be affected by these goals that were going to be agreed in September 2015. And Ireland will have to develop an action plan for how it will implement policies to achieve those goals that will be agreed. So in a way, this is going to be a second-tier constitution for our country. So 2015 is when we say to people in Ireland, this is important. This is going to affect you and I. There is an opportunity now to have a say. So speak out, because this is going to impact you. And we really have a big chance to influence this, because the international negotiation process for these goals is being chaired by Ireland. So Irish diplomats are currently shaping the future of our world, and we as Irish citizens therefore have a unique opportunity to make our voices heard.
And how can we contribute to that debate?
Well, one thing is to maybe contact your local TD and say, did you know that these goals are being discussed right now, right here? And can you tell me what Ireland's input into those discussions is? Have you thought about, and then you can put in there whatever issue concerns you. If, for instance, we have been saying, look, it needs to make sure that these priorities are actually reflecting what poor people around the world want to see. Or we know, for instance, that people with disabilities tend to be overlooked in these discussions. We know that poor people tend to be excluded from these discussions. So we're saying, what steps have you taken as Ireland and as the EU and the UN to make sure that these people's voices are heard in the discussions?
Okay. So those goals at the moment, Hans, just to clarify further, they haven't actually been agreed yet, those universal goals. They have yet to be agreed.
Yeah, September 2015 there'll be a UN summit where these will be agreed. And there's another set of really important decisions going to be made in December 2015, and that's about climate change. Because clearly one of the biggest threats to all of us here on Earth is climate chaos, which is due to exhaustion of, or the production of greenhouse gases. So, as I said, we are contributing those. Ireland is one of the biggest per capita contributors of CO2 emissions. So the world leaders will meet in Paris in December to try and cap the emissions of greenhouse gases. So that will impact on our lifestyles. So again, that's a decision and a discussion that ordinary people need to be part of.
Okay, Hans, I think that's absolutely excellent. I've learned a lot this morning. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, it may be a lot, and therefore we've created a website. And I think if your listeners want to know more, they should go to www.dochas.ie/EYD.
And they'll find Twitter and Facebook as well.
We have Twitter and Facebook, yeah. So please look up or, you know, get in touch with us and ask whatever questions you have. Because, if there's one message for this year, this is a unique year. It's a year that's going to impact on our future for the next 15 to 20 years. So it's worth investing a little bit of time trying to find out more to see, can we shape this? Can we influence this? And how will this impact on our own lives?
So thanks very much to Hans Zomer, head of DOCUS. If you want to find out more about the European Year for Development, check out their website, www.docus.ie/EYD. Or you can follow them on their Twitter account, which is @EYD_IRL, or on their Facebook account, EYD Ireland. This is Carmel O'Donoghue for Europe Today on 103.2 Dublin City FM.
Well, I'm afraid that's all we have time for this week's, folks. I hope you've enjoyed the programme. Again, a very, very special thank you to Director of DOCUS, Hans Zomer. Don't forget to check out our support website platform, europetoday.ie, which will have a podcast of today's programme and a link to some of the items that we've mentioned as well. Join us again here on 103.2 Dublin City FM at the same time next week on your programme, Europe Today.